Most of us have limited resources. When cars are broken, it's time to just haul them off. I buy junk cars. What's that number on the corner? Let me call them. We don't have the tools or the knowledge or the know-how to repair them. And most of us certainly don't have the financial resources to rebuild things that are 50 and 60 years old, whether it be a house or an automobile that's rusted out. Oh, we want to. We watch all the shows on TV. Overhauling. I love that show. I don't have the resources to do that myself. And most of them don't either, which is why their cars are in the shape they are in. And they've been neglected. A certain amount of years of use and or abuse. But we think we don't have resources. I don't have the tools. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the financial resources to do this. This is your best resource. Church, this is your best resource. As we have sometimes to some painstakingly gone through the book of Genesis on Wednesday night Bible study, chapter by chapter, getting a historical look, it's important. It's important. And this is a tool. But just like when you use a wrench or a screwdriver as a hammer, how about those long, skinny screwdrivers and you use them as a prying bar and then they bend and look like this and you say, well, I guess that's shot and we throw it away. Or because they're cheaper blades on them, we break the blades, they're no longer useful, they're just an ice pick at this point. We have to learn how to use this properly. We can't use this book as a hammer to hammer people. 29 years, Prayer of Faith has been in existence. Let me read this to you. You know, we look at things and say, I can't do anything with that. Matthew 19 says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? And I want to read this. We're in Matthew chapter 21, but I want to read this out of Matthew 18, 12 and 14, 12 through 14. And it's the parable of the lost sheep. It says, what do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? Does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. In verse 33 of Matthew 21, we'll be reading verse 33 through 44. And it says, hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to a vine dresser and went into a far country and went away. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dresser that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dresser took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned yet another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same thing to the second group. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son, surely. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him, cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to the vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. And Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You ever hate yourself when you do something and you forget a part of that? So back in Psalm 118, with all the activities, I skipped right over the part that I wanted to read. Maybe I didn't. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Did I read that in Psalm? Oh, good. Okay, I thought I forgot that. Because that's the whole point of this. Don't you feel better when you think you made a mistake and you're confirmed that you didn't? And then you just look stupid anyway? Don't answer that. God has given us one another. And when we look at this, we look at prayer of faith. I looked at prayer of faith as I was doing this study. And I said, this is the vineyard God has given us. And we're the vine dressers. And we have to take care of His vineyard. When people come in here, do we take care of them? Do we send them the fruits of what we've done? Are we going out and reaching other people? I hope we do. You see, we have this tool. We have this tool to use in our vineyard to treat people well. We talked several weeks ago about adjusting our focus and adjusting the angle slightly to get better results. But when we press through and do the same thing day in and day out, it takes us a long time to understand and realize somebody does care. Oh, and that somebody could be sitting next to me, across from me. That somebody could in fact be Jesus Christ. I ask for signs all the time and I don't see it. And I always remind people when they say, well, I woke up today. Well, thank God, because guess what? There were people that went to sleep last night that did not wake up today. There's a tragedy up in Stillwater with the OSU homecoming. 4 people at this point died going to a parade. Who'd have thought when they got up that morning? I worked with several ladies in my office, and 3 of them were schoolmates, and one of their friends had been killed in a car accident Friday night. Who thought that day that that person, one of their fellow student friends, would die in a car accident? And we hear about these things time and time again. I said, is there anything I can do? They said, would you mind talking to us Monday when we're all at work and helping us through this? What a great honor. It'd be sad if they didn't know I was a pastor, if they didn't know I was a Christian and they could reach out to me. But sometimes when we go through our affliction, we think, God, I'm not giving you any of the grapes from the vineyard. I'm not going to do it because, God, I'm hurting right now, so I don't want to give. I don't have the energy to give, and I don't want to do these things. We've all been through different things in our lives. Husbands, remember your wives. If they've been married before, if they haven't, what have they gone through? Be patient with them. Understanding that they had a different lifestyle. Wives, in reference to your husband, they may not have had a good role model to show their love towards you. They may not have had any role model. Men, our job is very important, especially as we raise children or influence children and young men. I look there because I see a row of young men in the back there. No offense, Adonijah. And our role towards these young men is so important. So important. I want us to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll close with that in one other statement. The care of the vineyard has been entrusted to us. Some of you have been here almost 29 years. Others 25 and 20 and 15. And the care of this vineyard has been entrusted to you. And as you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to finish up real quick and go to 1 Peter chapter 2, but in Matthew where we just read, it said, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation. And in that reference, they're talking about the church. The kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to another church bearing fruit. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. You see, there's a big difference between being broken and falling on Jesus and then him falling on you. And in that reference, they're talking about judgment. They're talking about his judgment on you. And we don't want that. We'd rather be broken and fall on him than have him fall on us at the end of our life and his judgment fall on us. We have to grow in the Word to tend to his vineyard. We have to teach and learn and grow in his Word, helping others. As a church, we just made a commitment to stand in for the home church of Stephen and Carrie to help raise their child. Dustin and Haley being new parents as well, they have a church body that needs to help them in that endeavor. The first responsibility on the parents, but other than that, the church. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. And it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes. You see, that baby up here didn't have any of that when she came forward. Desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow. Thereby, if indeed you have tasted it, the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. He's talking about us coming to him, coming to the Savior, as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. We have to be sure that we don't use Jesus Christ as a stumbling block for us. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now they have obtained mercy. And it says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. God's calling us to come before him as living stones. When we tend to his vineyard, we have to come as living stones, as active people. It says we're called out of darkness and into light, into his marvelous light, knowing we are to take that light to other dark places and dark places of the world, making them not just people, but people of God. You see, there's a difference being a person and a person of God. When we belong to God, we have many more promises. As we close today, I want to get back to my original scripture from Matthew. The parable of the lost sheep. Well, Adam, where does that fit in this? Who do you think the lost sheep are? Who are they and where have they gone? And it says that they'll go out and look for them. The lost sheep are the broken, the abused, the neglected, the forgotten, the hurt, and the damaged. And the rejected. Remember, we see people from the outside. God sees them from the inside. We see them with no potential. It's too much work, too much effort. God says, no, because I know my plan. It's been 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. But I know that old bird's getting ready to crack. Children, don't give up on your parents. Parents, do not give up on your children. Families, do not give up on your families. This is the vineyard, and we're here to watch out for one another. And we're here to take care of what God has entrusted us with. Amen. We have to change our focus. 29 years we celebrate today. And I'm thankful to be a part of that. We pray as a group in our praise and worship team when we start practice. And Anna prayed this morning. And I was so thankful for her prayer. Because she said, thank you for the people that came before us and laid this path for us. People years ago, we're talking about Pastor Jack who started this church. We're talking about people that spoke to Pastor Jack and spoke into his life. And people that spoke into their life. You see, we can't just start there. It goes back generations and generations. To someone that spoke life into these people, and they spoke life into somebody else. And they took that light and carried that light into dark places and gave people hope. We have to continue on giving people hope and giving each other hope. Let's bow our heads today. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for 29 years of prayer of faith. God, I'm thankful for you entrusting us as a church body to this vineyard. I'm thankful for these people in the vineyard with me. And I'm thankful to be in the vineyard with them. Help direct our path, Lord, so we can be better caretakers of the vineyard. Seeking to see the potential in others. Seeking to see the potential of this church and your people. God, today give us a great time of fellowship with one another as we prepare to sit down and break bread with one another. Lord, I ask your blessing on the meal at this time as well. The hands that have prepared this, those that have set forth to set this up. Lord, bless this time of fellowship to the nourishment of our bodies and the nourishment of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.